From runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 470, Chef Compliance with guest Jessica DeVita. Recorded Tuesday, April 12th, 2016. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. And this is actually the last of my ninth year of shows. This is show number 470. So next week will be 471, and that's the beginning of 10 years of Run As Radio. And if you've been listening the whole time, thank you. Thank you so much for making this all possible. I couldn't do it without you. My guest for this show is Jessica DeVita, who's formerly a technical evangelist at Microsoft and now at Chef. She started at Chef in the pre-sales solution architect area and now works in post-sales, helping customers adopt Chef tooling and DevOps practices at some of the largest enterprises, including Disney, Intuit, and more. Welcome back.
Thanks, Richard. It's so nice to talk to you again. Really happy to be here.
Yeah, we've done a bunch of things. I think I first encountered you down at Ed Horley's thing in San Francisco, right?
That's right. And in fact, you were sort of very involved with sort of me becoming a speaker and doing more public speaking at conferences.
Oh, well, that was the, then we did, you were at Tech
Speaker
Ed.
Idol.
You
at
did
Tech
Speaker
Ed.
Idol.
That's right. That's right.
And so, you won it, as I recall.
I did. That was so great. It was really fun to be able to, share what I'm working on and share what I'm learning. So it was a lot of fun speaking at Tech Ed, and I hope to do it again.
Yeah. Well, that's the prize for winning Speaker Idol was a speaking slot at Tech Ed. And if I remember correctly, I don't remember your talk, but I do remember that the judges really noticed that you took the feedback because you did it in the heat and won the heat. And then as you came to the finals, you did all of these little things that I think the judges really picked up on and they were excited about your ability to incorporate good ideas into your talks.
Yeah, Speaker Idol competition is so wonderful because it really gives you, a 5-minute talk is tough.
It's brutal.
It's brutal. It's really one very challenging. And so it was a lot of fun to do it. The feedback from the judges was excellent. I was able to incorporate that in the final. And I was speaking around migration topics, moving Exchange off premises and up into O365.
Right. I've always wanted to do like a Speaker Idol All-Stars and see if like Mark Rusinovich could knock out a good 5 minutes. Or Manassi, or, any of those other big gun speakers just to see, because 5 minutes is super hard. I don't care who you are.
That's right. Oh, that would be fabulous.
It'd be something to see, wouldn't it?
Oh, it certainly would.
Or a gong show, one or the other.
One or the other. Take my money. Let's do it.
Well, I got to go talk to the Ignite folks and see if we can put something like that together for the fall. So here you are at Chef. I know you had a good time at Microsoft for a while there. I mean, DevOps is all the things. What are you working on?
Yeah, so absolutely. Chef, I love working at Chef. And I, came to Chef, via Microsoft. Mm-hmm. And, DevOps is something I care about passionately. I do spend a lot more time typically on the cultural aspects of adopting DevOps. Sure. And so basically that's what I work on, with customers, some of the largest enterprises in the world who are using Chef, and I help them both with the tooling as well as the cultural pieces that really make DevOps work.
It seems like the tooling's not going to do much for you if you don't have a culture that's willing to do those kinds of things, to interoperate very closely together and to take feedback and change quickly with it.
Well, there's a lot more vulnerability in some of the enterprises we work in. They're just not set up that way and are, in some cases, pretty toxic workplaces. And so organizations really have to be willing to ask some tough questions of themselves and, evaluate whether they can really break down silos and decide, yeah, we all actually work at the same company. Let's all be, contributing you know, to delivering value to the customers.
Everybody be on the same side of the problem.
Same side of the table. Yep.
You know, IT has a tough part of this because IT often looked at as a cost center. Any form of failure, anything going wrong at all is a disaster for them. So they get very sensitive to allowing any failures at all.
Well, so I'm glad you brought up failure because that culture of being able to look at failure as a learning opportunity,
sure.
It is critical. And so an organization that when they have failures, and you will, you know, technology is imperfect. And so you've got to be able to create a culture that allows for mistakes to happen and learn from them and drive that right back into your product, into the work and learn from it.
Get a root cause analysis beyond be more careful next time.
Right. Now, careful with the root cause analysis word, because I would say to you and anyone really is that there is no such thing as a root cause. If there is, it's computers, because computers, right? But know that there are causes and we can sort of go back and try to reconstruct the timeline. But again, not in order to blame or fire someone.
No.
Rather to just see, how did this go wrong? Is it possible that it could have gone wrong? Could I do it wrong? You know, how could we, see what contributed to that failure?
Yeah, well, I mean, the whole point here is the system shouldn't be possible for them to fail, you know, in theory.
Well, that's that safety, right?
Yeah.
And so one of the things that Chef, that I love about Chef and the way we approach the problem and think about the reason about these problems is that complexity. And going, we're not going to be able to, solve this overnight. We've got to take small pieces and improve on them and iterate on them. But the root cause is interesting. So just think about, looking into the concept of a blameless postmortem. Those kinds of activities really contribute to being able to do this the right way.
I mean, when you look at the safest systems in the world, things like the airline industry and aircraft as a whole, it is based on a blameless system. It's based on trying to understand what the actual problem is and making sure we do better every time. And you get to this point of these hundreds of thousands of hours, millions of hours of flying without an incident. It's just, the proof is absolutely there. It can be done. You just have to have that culture.
Well, yeah. And so that idea of creating safe, humane systems is a powerful one. And all of this incredible research around the maritime and aviation industries, as you mentioned. So if you look at a guy called Sidney Decker, he wrote this fabulous book, The Field Guide to Understanding Human Error. And he really digs into, looking at disasters and how they came about. And you're right. We can model and look to those industries and how they handle errors and accidents. And bring that into whatever organization, whatever kind of vertical we work in.
Absolutely. And so certainly this is the business we're in. We just got to start treating it more like that. So talk to me about some tooling. What are you working on to make this more possible?
Oh, great. Well, so for a lot, I don't know how familiar our listeners are with Chef. Hopefully, they've listened to some of your interviews with Stephen Murawski.
Yes. And you are a major sponsor. Thank you very much. Couldn't be here. And I mean, it's a free product. Everybody should be taking this thing out for a spin. It makes your life better when it comes to rolling out infrastructure more efficiently.
It does. So you brought up a good point. Chef is completely open source. You only pay Chef if you need to, need that support. And so everybody can go ahead and get started with Chef. We've got a fabulous tutorial on learn.chef.io, which will give you a taste of what it's like to do infrastructure in code and sort of prove that all through the line, right? So Chef is great in and of itself. And for a long time, that really was our product. We obviously changed the name from OpsCode to Chef. And so the things that have been going on at Chef, which I'm super excited about, really is around compliance. So I don't know if you know this, but many years ago, probably 12 years ago, I was working on a Sarbanes-Oxley audit for a large financial institution. And I just think about how manual that process was.
How arduous that is, doing an audit like that.
Oh, so painful. And And just the, if you think about, well, it's a lot of paper involved, a lot of dead trees involved in an audit. There's lots of, you know, conversations with auditors who are not technical. So you've, you know, really got your work cut out for you doing an audit in the old way. And so I think about what we have now at Chef with a tool called Chef Compliance. So this is something I've been working on with our customers. So Chef Compliance is an amazing tool. It came as a result of our acquisition of a company called VolcanoSec last year in November. These folks were building this tool and working with large financial institutions to, you know, help them be compliant. We've just released version 1.0, so we're at GA now. And so Chef Compliance is awesome, but what I want to do is share with you kind of the what and why of Chef Compliance and the language that we write these tests in to help kind of inform how powerful this is and really completely change how you think about audits and compliance.
Absolutely. Let's go to this. You know, my experience with auditing has always been, it seems so random. You know, you can't do a comprehensive audit. It is a sampling.
Totally. It's the margin for error, the inability to really know if you've covered all your bases, if you've covered all your infrastructure, has been very challenging. With Chef Compliance, it's just a different and much easier approach. So I guess let's dig into, you know, what it is. So as I mentioned, we just came out with version 1.0. Mm-hmm. And so the key thing that I think is going to be powerful for people to understand is that to start with Chef Compliance, this is a standalone tool.
Okay.
It is read-only, so it gives you that notion of a separation of concerns. And we accomplish that by way of this being agentless, In the sense that you only need SSH or WinRM open, right? So there's no agent required. When people are adopting Chef or looking at Chef, I think they feel some amount of complexity and going, I don't really know how I'm going to learn this tool. Compliance gives you a little bit easier approach to not boiling the ocean with all of Chef.
Right.
But let's start with one of the most fundamental things that we must accomplish with compliance. So this being agentless is super key. It's standalone. Again, you don't have to be running Chef to use compliance.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
Is this a Windows product?
It will work on Linux, Windows, Unix, kind of all of those flavors.
Nice.
Yeah, so you can scan your Windows infrastructure. Whatever you have, we can scan it.
Okay. So, and because I'm not, I mean, I like the fact that you're not installing things on all those machines. Does that just
right.
makes me nervous that
right?
you sort of
people
reach out and touch the computers?
Well, people have agent fatigue, right?
Oh,
it's like,
tell
my
me about it.
Goodness,
yeah.
I'm going to stick another agent on this
box. Really? Really?
Yeah.
More? I don't
really?
Have enough bits on this machine already. I'm not in compliance anymore because I put compliance tools on everything.
Exactly. Exactly.
And what are we trying to comply to? Is this strictly Sarbanes-Oxley or, you know, what
no,
do you have compliance rule sets?
We most certainly do. So you asked a question around like, is it just Sarbanes? And the answer is no, it's any compliance regulation that you might be subject to from the industry, whether it's PCI, HIPAA, those kinds of mm-hmm. things, CIS benchmarks, et cetera. And so in addition to that, you might have internal rules that is just how you do things. Like each server has to have this one piece of configuration file and configured in this certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's external regulations, plus you can write profiles for your own rules.
So what are you actually testing?
You're testing everything in the sense that, and let's start small, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, not to boil the ocean, but let's take a very simple control that we might, for example, pull from the CIS benchmarks.
Okay.
So as you know, the old way is these big PDF documents with you've got a PDF with a control and kind of, you know, some words around what it means. And, but with Chef Compliance, what you're able to do is describe that control, Give it a name. You can, in the metadata, give it an impact rating, one being, your impact, and that's your decision about the impact rating. In the title, you're just going to really describe in plain language what this control does.
Right.
And then in the description, this is where you're going to really notice that the inspec language, the power of the inspec language. So when we think about inspect, it's based on server spec. Mm-hmm. And so what it does is take these controls and make them superhuman friendly, superhuman readable, and auditor friendly. So for example, we want to enforce a password history. It's got to be at least 24 passwords before it can be reused.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
And so if we think about the language, it's as simple of describe. So you're going to use the word describe, mm-hmm. then you're going to use security policy. So mm-hmm. that's it. That's a resource inside of it. And then it's written in Ruby. So there's a do and up there. And then we talk about the password history size. It's password history size, and then it should be greater than or equal to 24.
So you're expressing this in Ruby, and then you're executing it from your compliance server, and then it's reaching out to, say, Active Directory and checking the group policy to make sure it obeys that?
Even better. This doesn't involve group policy at all. This is actually auditing the box itself. So with group policy, like, it's great. It's fabulous. You don't actually know if something... You don't always know if it worked. This kind of proves it. And it's exactly looking at the machine, and it's the truth about the machine. So in this way, we can take, a lot of disparate teams, and we can have those security people come to the table.
Right.
And when they see this, it's the excitement is really profound, because they are seeing this, both the simplicity, the matching to the control sets, and are able to, in a very small, fast way, test these very critical controls.
Love it. Jess, give me 1 second to pay the bills, because this episode of Run As Radio is brought to you by Chef, the automation platform for the DevOps workflow. You can use Chef to automate and manage it all: infrastructure, runtime environments, and applications. Chef works in the cloud or in your data center, on physical servers, virtual machines, and containers. Get started with Chef today at chef.io/runasradio. I got to add a mention to compliance about this as well, because I did not know about this tooling.
So new. It's so new. And that's why I was just excited to talk to you about it, because I can't contain my excitement about it.
Well, I'm looking at some samples here, and it's like, you should not be afraid of Ruby, because Ruby speaks English. It's very clear what the intent of something like how many passwords are we storing for a given account is. It's just, this is how you would do that.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I think there's some concern of like, oh, I'm a infrastructure operations
right.
person. No way, I'm not a programmer. Murawski always says you're all programmers.
Yeah.
But so the Ruby language, we actually have a blog post called Just Enough Ruby for Chef.
Nice.
So don't be afraid of Ruby. It's a beautiful language, and it just really extensible and easy to, easy to use. And I think the inventor of Ruby was very much about like programming should be a joy.
Yes.
Really make programmers happy.
And you're not digging into, and nor do you need to. I mean, these are very coherent expressions. You're asking a simple question. Is the password history size greater than or equal to, say, 24?
Exactly.
There's not much more to it than that. So you can read it. It makes sense to you. You could write these. I could see a lot of cut and paste coding, because it's just different security policy icons that you need to grab.
That's right. And so the thing about writing these tests is, yes, you could start today writing an inspect test. Mm-hmm. But I would steer you to first look at the compliance profiles and the tests that come out of the box that are ready to use. For example, a lot of times we want to be very clear about ports and listening and, what's going on the network side of things. So another example of a super simple test that you would write with inspect would be, again, that describe port. And then in brackets, 80, port 80, mm-hmm. It should not be listening.
Right. So I want port 80 closed.
That's right. And you want 443 should be listening on the TCP side. So
nice.
Just that language. And so I'm going to send you some resources after our call that sure. you can share or post on the recording. But again, Chef wants you to have reusable, repeatable, small things that you can sort of combine. And so if we look at the Chef Supermarket, this is our community sharing tool that allows you to upload compliance profiles that you've written mm-hmm. that would benefit, you know, your colleague down the line and be able to reuse that work. So some of the things up on the supermarket are a basic, you know, Linux hardening script, right? So this yeah. test is going to take you through all of those things. And then the piece I want to come back to around the compliance profiles is what comes out of the box, right? So right out of the gate, you're going to have compliance tests for basic Apache. You're going to be able to look at the Windows-based security, basic SSH type of controls, the CIS benchmark. Mm-hmm. Those things all come out of the box. Now, in upcoming releases, you're going to see more profiles. You're going to see PCI. You're going to see HIPAA. You're going to start to see all of those profiles already written for you.
Yeah, because I got to think something like HIPAA compliance, and I've battled through an audit of this in the past. You can't just there are certain things you must do, but you know every system's slightly different. You're going to have to take a look at how your system works and decide how to integrate that.
Absolutely, these are given to you as a starting place, mm-hmm. and then you will still need to understand and look through and decide which pieces are relevant to you that you want to enforce or test for.
Right. Well, you know, just something as simple as keep port 80 closed, have 443 open. Well, that presumes you're using TLS on over a web server. Mm-hmm. If all the connections are VPN, the rules have to be different.
That's right. That's right. So you can take that knowledge and be able to write the inspect test in a way that meets your needs.
Right. But I do like the idea that the way you're writing these things is code can be validated on demand or maybe even continuously.
Well, that's the magic, right? Mm-hmm. Most audits are like once a year. Everybody's stressed out.
Once a year if you're unlucky.
If you're unlucky. And you know, everybody's all work really stops trying to get this audit going. Yeah. And so with Chef Compliance, you're completely changing that. You are saying at any given point in time, you can roll in and take a look and our infrastructure is compliant with these very specific controls that you told us to comply with. And I can prove it by clicking a button.
Yeah, day in, day out. And I mean, at the operating system level, it's really interesting to sort of go to a template approach of here's what a locked down outward facing machine looks like. Here's it even inward, you know, internal machines, we're still using encrypted connections between them to minimize, you know, potential employee loss. Like you can go on and on with this. And you know, I love the idea of just being able to take a machine and saying, well, I'm going to change the context this machine operates in. I can apply a new set of security policies to it.
That's right. One way to think about this is if you approach things and you're already using Chef and you've already got an agent on the box, mm-hmm. that's great. And with the 1.0 release of compliance, you can scan using an agent on the node. But completely separate, standalone, you can scan your infrastructure again, just with SSH and WinRM. Mm-hmm. Again, you don't even have to use Chef for that. So the two ways to approach it are start with Chef, write your policies. Yes, do test-driven development early, use Test Kitchen, all of those tools. And that developer is great. And he's on board with the DevOps. He's on board with the CI/CD. He's got the pipeline. He's ready for it.
Right.
Now, his intent is to write code that is clean, that produces what his intent was.
Right.
But if you look at that, you know, the truth, like, we look at the clean code book. I just love this quote. You know, mm-hmm. truth can only be found in the code. And so when we start looking at that code and he does his local test-driven workflow, that's great. But now separate from that, your security guys are coming in and saying, well, I don't know what Chef is and I can't deal with this. So for those people, you can say, well, let's approach it from the test first, standalone read-only test.
Right.
Because what will happen is your developers will have great intent. They'll write beautiful code that works on their laptop. It even worked in Test Kitchen. But now you bring it in and now your security people scan it with compliance and go, Yeah, but that port is still open.
Right.
Or, that Apache server is, has indexes option on, right? So what we are saying is you can completely outside of those contexts have this independent way to verify these critical controls and just start there and then decide how to remediate. Ideally, you'd use Chef to remediate that.
Right.
But again, it can be alone.
But that's the next logical question is, okay, now you've detected these things. Is there an easy way to actually apply them? And I'm hoping you're adding them to a cookbook or a recipe, a script that will make sure they're always applied that way from then on.
From that point. Right. So that, so using compliance can give you just this window into where we are now with these very important rules. Mm-hmm. Start with one test. Maybe it's SSH, whatever you need to test for. And then again, as you find violations, now you can go back to your chef recipe, your chef cookbook, and try to figure out where you can find out exactly where that config is wrong. Make the change, remediate the change, remediate it. And now your server's back in compliance. You rerun a compliance scan and you're like, yep, it's fixed.
Yeah, now it passes. What about the cloud?
What about that cloud? So as you mentioned in the introduction, Chef works anywhere. Like
sure.
We want you to have this kind of platform independent, platform agnostic. You should be able to roll your infrastructure anywhere. And so we work very closely with the Azure team. They're, a Chef customer now. They're using Chef. Microsoft is. In some teams, we also work very well with AWS, DigitalOcean, all of those places.
Right.
But the Chef compliance server itself can run on premises, bare metal, wherever you want to put that Chef, the Chef compliance server.
So you could be running it in the cloud and validating. I mean, totally. there's only so much you can do to a VM or to a service provided by a platform as a service provider, but at the same time, at least you would know.
Mm-hmm.
You could check fairly effectively. So, I mean, ultimately, do you see that our InfoSec and security operations folks are going to want to use this tool? It's not just for devs.
Yeah,
this becomes the compliance tool.
This can become your compliance tool. We see customers using, things like Qualys and this, that, and the other thing,
mm-hmm.
and the struggle there is they're not. It's a great product, but it's very hard to use. It's very hard to read. It's, some of these, things spit out in like an XML format and things like that. But again, very hard to read. And so using Chef Compliance is a great way to even validate your existing compliance tools, mm-hmm. and sort of let you know where you are, in a safe way that again, it's not going to modify. It's not going to remediate anything. It's just going to prove that one control, that one test that you need to see.
And you can run it as many times. Just give yourself a board that says green or red and know where to work.
Oh, so I'm glad you mentioned that too, mm-hmm. because the dashboard for compliance is just beautiful. I mean, we want to be working in the command line, mm-hmm. And in our text editors, but the GUI for compliance is so beautiful. It can allow, I'm going to send you a picture of that too, but basically anyone from an exec to your security people can take a glance at the dashboard and know exactly how many machines are green, passed all their tests. And which ones are out of compliance.
Sure. Moment to moment, you sort of have that awareness. I'm all for command line for issuing commands, but I'm big on good visualizations for where we are.
Well, for your Windows folks in the world, this you're going to need to show. They need to see something and not have to be the person necessarily writing that text.
Right. Well, I've always had this experience with Operations Manager. Like people love that dashboard just to see how apps are operating at any given moment. It's not necessarily security related, but it is a sense of all these machines represent this application and here's their health levels.
That's right. Well, so I wanted to ask you too, mm-hmm. I think for some of the Windows people, it would be very important for them to know that your plugins for Microsoft SCCM and the SCAP rules, of those, that all integrates with Chef Compliance.
Okay, so you work with Configuration Manager.
Yes.
And you almost wonder, are these competitors per se? But I guess not.
No. And so again, all of these tools out there, you know, they all were written with, you know, certain things in mind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the end, we have to cobble together the things that make it all work together. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we want to be interoperable with everything.
Right. Well, you know, yeah, you don't force anyone to have to switch tools just to get any given thing. But
no.
It is interesting the way you guys are approaching this console, where I can get green lights as I'm building software too. Like, I think the dev folks would like to know, as they're working on things, you're not compliant with our company standards right now. You know, you need to lock these things down.
Well, so as you said, as they work.
Right.
So we think about moving compliance to the left. You'll hear lots of Chef people talking about that. Mm-hmm. So we think about a software development life cycle. And at the left, you have that first line of code that you're writing. Hopefully, you're writing your tests before you write your code.
You would hope.
One would hope.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but what happens now in a lot of places, they don't have the tools to allow for that, or they don't have the mindset of a test-driven development mindset. And so they try to bolt on security at the end. And we know that that doesn't work. And we know that it's incredibly expensive to test at the end.
Well, and it's, if your only test for security is the audit, it could be months and months after you finish an application before you get it audited and then find out it has security compliance issues, which it's an exposure. Mm-hmm. And the folks who worked on it have long moved on to other things. So now you're trying to figure out, how do we fix this? So the idea that I could have this running as almost part of a build process, so the day in, day out, we're getting that validated, I think that's very compelling.
It is compelling. You know, the inspect language, again, you'll use that in the, to write the controls, to write the compliance profiles for the scans you need to do. But as far as bringing that piece earlier, you can use Chef Compliance inside an audit cookbook. Mm-hmm. When Chef runs in audit mode, again, it's just, this is sort of what we had before compliance. We had audit mode. So now you can use that inspect language inside of audit mode and know, even when your Chef runs, when your Chef client runs, what's happening much earlier in the process.
So it's just part of your test suite now.
It just becomes part of your test suite. And again, like that's kind of a utopia, that you have that fully integrated end to end.
Yeah.
And ideally you would use Chef Delivery to halt a package or a server that, you know, fails those compliance tests. You could halt them from ever hitting even QA. Like they would never even make it that far.
No, you're talking about a grail, right?
Certainly is.
An effective InfoSec audit of a piece of software before it even gets into QA's hands. Like it's,
can you imagine?
Unit testing security. It's crazy talk. You're talking crazy talk, Jessica. This is crazy.
I know. It is awesome. Really awesome. And what I will do again with the resources, there's some demos, there's some videos, ways for people to kind of get their hands on this and see how amazing it is.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for spending some time to talk to me about this. I think folks would be really excited about it.
Well, thank you, Richard. It's really a pleasure to talk to you again. And let me know if you have any questions. And I'll see you on the Twitters.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.